Next case, please.
Our next public hearing this evening is case number 12,262. Tower North Development LLC seeks a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower. Sections 115.23, 115.194.2 and 115.210 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Sam Lucas Road, approximately 476 feet south of Cave Neck Road. The 911 address is 25754 Cave Neck Road, Milton. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential. Tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 20, Parcel 54.00. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a special use exception to place a telecommunications tower comprising of a 195-foot monopole with six antennae on a concrete pad with associated fencing and equipment cabinets. Staff would note we received one letter of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. The letter of support I can summarise as being from the adjoining landowner, Adam Muir Farm, LLC, supporting the applicant on the basis of improved cellular reception in the area, but requesting that the board give consideration to designing the monopole to resemble an evergreen tree.
Designing as a tree?
Yeah, we had an application like that years ago.
Yeah.
Woodland, I believe.
Yep. Yes.
Anyway, good evening.
Good evening. I'm Jonathan Jordan. I'm the applicant for the attorney. I do potentially have three witnesses. I don't know if we want to get them sworn in.
Yes.
Okay. Come on up. We have the first gentleman here is Sean Paul. He's a radio frequency engineer. We also have Paul Chan, who is a civil engineer. And Dave Gregonis is a site acquisition consultant for Tower North, the applicant. Basically, I don't have any prepared testimony for these gentlemen, but if the board has any questions about their area of expertise.
It's just an easy guy.
Yeah, we'll swear them all in. Come on, step up to them. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Sean Paul. My address is 22 West Epley Drive, Carlisle, Pennsylvania, 17015.
Okay. I'm going to swear everybody at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. Step up, sir. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Paul Chan. I live in 527 West Bobby Fulch Road, King of Prussia, PA, 19406.
Thank you.
It's David Gregonis.
And your address?
Home address?
Or work? The address that you care to give us that we can reach you.
3801 Barry Bridge Way, Southeast Marietta, Georgia.
And do the three of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And I understand Mr. Jordan's going to be making the presentations, but if for any reason you go up to the podium, just state your name again for the record.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. So the applicant, Tower North Development LLC, is proposing a 195-foot tall monopole at a 90-acre farm located at 25754 Cave Neck Road, which is next to the Dogfish Head Brewery. Ed and Janet Mass own the land, and Mr. Mass is here. AT&T will have antennas at the top of the tower, and there are spaces for three other carrier platforms to go underneath the AT&T antennas. What I wanted to do, our whole case is summarized in these binders, which I handed up, and almost everything in here was submitted with our application. But I know the board has heard many cell tower applications, so I just wanted to do a quick overview to quickly run through the Section 115-194.2, the standards for commercial communications towers. And then, like I said, our experts are here if there are any specific questions. To start summarizing our exhibit packet, probably the most important exhibits are A8 and A9. I'm going to show them up on the board. These are called propagation maps. And the yellow and the gold show signals that cover with an AT&T signal parts of Milton, Delaware. And if you look where I'm pointing the cursor right now, it's on the west side. That's called the Milton West Tower. That's approximately 2 miles. It's just over 2 miles from the proposed site, which is kind of in the center. It's where the cursor is now. We call this site Dogfish Head. And then approximately 2 miles to the north is the Milton Tower. So we're kind of in the middle of two existing AT&T towers, and as you can see, a big chunk of downtown Milton and some of the area to the east is uncovered, doesn't have an AT&T signal. And as you drop out to the east, it gets a little bit worse. Then slide 2 shows what the coverage would be after Dogfish Head. And as you can see, a lot of the coverage gaps will be filled if we can build this tower. I want to maybe jump to the ordinance standards. Section A requires a minimum lot size of 1 acre. We have 90 acres. Subsection B applies to co-location. That does not apply to us. Subsection C says that we'll submit a site plan and appropriate documentation. We have done that. The site plan is at tab 13. Section D says no towers within a 2 mile radius. I showed you on that propagation map where the other towers are. And if you look at exhibit A7, they draw the 2 mile radius and they show that both of those towers are outside of our radius. And the setback of the tower needs to be at least one third the height of the tower. We're 235 feet at a minimum from the property lines. The site plan does show an 8 foot tall fence. At least 6 foot is required. The tower must be lit every 50 feet. The applicant does agree to do that. It's not required by FAA given where we're placed. And one of the tabs in the exhibit binder, tab 12, is an FAA report showing that we comply and we're not required to light it or do anything further vis-a-vis the FAA. Subsection H also requires compliance with FCC requirements. In our exhibit binder, we have our FCC license at exhibit 5. Exhibit 10 is the electromagnetic report, and it shows that we're less than 1% of the maximum. Exhibit A11 is a report showing that we would not interfere when the tower is operational with any appliances. The next says that if the tower is out of commission for 6 months, it will be removed, and we agree with that. The next is J. Says that no signs or blinking or rotating lights, and we will not have any of those. So those are the specific special exception standards for a tower. Then the general special exception standard is that we will not substantially affect adversely the uses of adjacent and neighboring property. As we showed, the proposed site would fill a significant coverage gap in the town. That is a benefit to the community, not a detriment. More than 70% of 911 calls are made from mobile phones, and this site is compatible with FirstNet, which ensures that a signal is always available to first responders who use the FirstNet system. I also like to note that 53% of all households do not have landlines, so these cell phones have become very important. People depend on them for making 911 calls and even for, you know, replacing their landlines. Just want to make sure there's nothing else we need to. I think that covers it. I'm going to ask my witnesses, does anyone disagree with anything I said or feel like you need to add to it?
They need to come. Someone needs
to come
up
to confirm. Okay. And to acknowledge that.
Come up, each of you, and let the board know if there's anything you feel like you need to add or if you disagree with anything I said.
I don't disagree with anything you said.
Your name, just for the record.
Dave Gregatis.
Do you affirm that everything he had said is true and correct?
I do, correct.
Okay. Okay. Sean, why don't you come up?
Sean Paul, I do agree with everything that was stated. I would add one item, and that is, in addition to the incremental in-building coverage that was presented on these coverage maps, this site will also alleviate existing capacity issues to the surrounding sites. And so it is not only just an incremental gain in coverage for in-building, but also to continue to ensure that the subscriber base has the service level that they've, you know, basically paid for. So,
and And you're, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, that's it.
I thought you were finished. Mr. Paul, is it?
Yes.
You're the RF engineer?
That's correct.
So typically, I think we see three antennae, and this is requiring six?
The proposal is for six, and you're absolutely right. Typically, traditionally, it was either nine or 12. Given the antenna manufacturers, they've been able to combine the multiple technologies or frequencies into one antenna. And so the lower amount of antennas, which is six in this case, is a result of the advancements in technology with the antenna manufacturers being able to accommodate the needs for AT&T and various other providers to use less antennas. The concept is, related to less antennas, less loading potentially, et cetera, et cetera. So it just makes for a little bit cleaner application.
And this is at 195 feet, so is the coverage a little more than the 2 miles for 85 dB gain, negative 85?
Right, so the height is indicative of the surrounding area and the target in terms of what needs to be covered. The proposed site will fill that 2 mile radius quite well, as is demonstrated in these coverage maps, which reflect the in-building. However, to be able to offload the existing sites that were pointed out here, the centralized location and the height that's being proposed will allow for that to occur. Height is not a standalone component. It's also dependent on surrounding environments. So that's what dictates the minimum height that's required, which is what we're presenting this evening at the proposed height.
Okay, and percentage-wise, how much is being offloaded from the other towers versus this tower being used?
Sure. I don't have the exact percentages per se, but given the proposed site location being centralized in the adjacent sites and basically the site to the west is the sector that's being targeted. With this being centralized, it will allow for the traffic that's existing today to be distributed amongst three separate sectors for the proposed site. So the offload should be significant to the percentage. I don't have that, but it's the most optimal location because of its centralized location respective to the adjacent site.
And this allows for this tower allows for four other users.
Three,
is that correct?
Three additional users.
Three additional. Okay. And I don't know if you would speak to this or someone else, but we did hear the application was for a tree-like structure.
No, I believe one of the neighbors wrote a letter asking us to propose a tree. We haven't proposed a tree. This is a monopole.
Oh, that's what that was. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm with you.
I'm opposed to that.
Yeah, we find,
excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Paul.
Oh, but before I let you go,
yes.
Exhibits A7 through A11, mm-hmm. Did you either prepare or review those in preparation for the hearing?
I did, in fact, review those exhibits, yes.
Okay. And are they true and accurate within the professional standards that RF engineers practice?
Yes, they are.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
In my opinion anymore, the tree poles, the monopines we call them, they stick out more than just a regular monopole.
Yeah, especially when trees are maxed out at about 100 feet.
Right.
Speaking of height, Mr. Whitehouse, over 150 feet, doesn't that require variance?
Correct. I was hoping to get Mr. Sharp's input on this. So the applicant has requested a special use exception only with no corresponding variance for the height.
Right.
The height is confirmed on the submitted drawings as being 193 feet. So a variance would be required in addition to any special use exception. So it is possible to combine them, but because the applicant has applied for a special use exception, we're only considering that tonight, not the variance. So if successful, they would have to come back with a variance. Alternatively, they could come back with both together. There are various options, but they do need one.
Right.
Or alternatively, they could have something that's smaller as well.
Correct.
Yes. 150, and it's under 115-179 is our height regulations, and that talks about communications towers of 150 feet or less.
And I also heard in your testimony that you were having an 8-foot fence, and that too would require a variance, correct?
Yep.
Of 1 foot. Maximum height of a fence behind the 40-foot front property line is 7 feet. So you would need a variance for the additional foot.
Okay, we can just do a 7-foot fence.
Okay, or when you apply for your height variance on the pole.
6 foot.
6 foot.
Seven.
Maximum height for a fence beyond the setback is 7 feet.
Seven feet.
If it's within the front yard setback, it's 3.5 feet.
Three and a half, 42 inches, yeah. So you could apply for that fence variance at the same time you do the pole. Mr. Okay.
Yeah.
I have some questions.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the only thing we're hearing tonight is a special use exception. Just for clarification, you'll have to reapply for the others. And so are there questions from members of the board regarding the special use?
So this farm is in farmland preservation.
Correct.
And you did go before the foundation. So any changes you make to your drawing has got to go before the foundation meeting before it comes back to us.
Okay.
So your height and things will have to be changed.
Well, I believe they did see a drawing of the 195-foot.
Okay.
So it will come back
and
to that.
Just the fence you'll have to change with them then, if it's 8-foot fence. I think you would need to contact them anyway to make sure you have their approval. And then are there other cell phone company towers in the area?
That you could locate on? That is the first test.
That's a question for Mr. Paul, but I believe it's in his report at A7 that those two towers were the only ones. Come on up then.
I think my phone works pretty good when I go through Milton.
Again, Sean Paul. Yeah, so it is basically in AT&T's best interest to always co-locate when possible.
Less expensive.
It prevents, in some cases, going before the board. But nonetheless, it is less expensive and also speed to market. And so in this case, all possible structures that could be used are not feasible or are already in use by AT&T. So in terms of the other carriers' coverage area, that I'm not able to speak to, but what I can state is that with the site proposed by AT&T, again, remember it's there's two objectives. The first and foremost is to reduce the capacity constraints on the adjacent tower to the west, and then the second, as a result, you gain the incremental in-building coverage. And so any and all structures that would have been feasible would not be applicable for meeting this coverage objective. And AT&T is co-located on, to the best of my knowledge, most of the structures in and around this area, as stated.
What's the closest in the area other than an AT&T tower?
Yeah, I believe that would be the closest tower. For the AT&T network, in terms of the being able to co-locate on, the one that is approximately 2 miles to the west.
West.
Okay, so there's no other companies, towers in the area?
To the best of my knowledge, there is not. And as I stated before, if there was an existing structure, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but AT&T's preference would be to co-locate. And it's usually suggested by zoning ordinances that is done in an effort to minimize towers. So any structure that would be available would be reviewed first and determined if it's feasible. And then as a last resort, a new structure would be proposed to be able to meet the coverage objective.
I have a question that doesn't directly and indirectly relates to what you're doing. And that would be because, you know, we... in consideration of future towers and so forth, but as the demand for data increases, does that require additional antenna, or is that just the same antenna with additional components?
It's a very good question, and I will try to delicately answer it simply because the technology is constantly evolving.
Changing. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of what is dependent on the antenna use is sometimes the frequencies that are being used. And as the cellular carriers are going out and trying to harvest new spectrum and obtain that, that could dictate whether an antenna is changed out. In terms of from what is existing today, the technology that's existing, the frequencies that are existing, the growth factor should not require that. There could be unique cases where you're trying to cover a very isolated area and it only seems to make sense to add an additional antenna or potentially additional sector, but it's not very much, it's not a standard practice. The carriers are not necessarily changing antennas out monthly or even every year, but there are cases that would require that if there's changes to the technology, that would dictate that. So it's a loose. I apologize.
I understand what you're saying.
Hard.
And I guess my question is not so much more antenna locations, but for example, on this tower, could it be that instead of additional users, that the AT&T may need additional antenna for to handle the demand of the future?
Yeah, it's certainly a possibility that an additional antenna may need to be installed, but that's not.
But that would be with different frequency?
It could be. Yeah, there's a lot of variables that would go into that. But what's being proposed is before you this evening is intended to be able to support not only the existing demand but also future demand. Future. Certainly, we don't want AT&T or any other carrier doesn't want to make it a habit to have a revolving door where there's constantly every year or every 6 months a request for a site, but there are cases, because certainly the subscriber usage is very hard to predict because it's dependent on user profile. Do you check email or do you watch Netflix on your
sure.
device? Do you use a home computer or not? Those types of things, and then mm-hmm. you have the typical call volume with phone calls, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very, it's able to be predicted based upon historical data, but certain changes to the technology and to the user demand can drive that factor up exponentially.
I appreciate your answering the questions, and the reason I asked them is this is one of the few formats that we get to be educated.
Sure.
And we know that it's a growing need, especially in a growth area like we have at the beach. And so, it's always nice to know how things are changing. And it wasn't until recently, for a while, we had quite a few AT&T requests, probably 5-6 years ago, I think it was. And more recently, more of the competition, Verizon. And so, it's always good to have that input and knowledge.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have had applications, and you've probably seen them too, where a carrier will take two platforms on a new tower. So I think, to Sean's point, I think if they looked out in the future and they thought they would need it, they would have reserved two,
sure. yeah.
two okay. platforms.
I agree.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Other questions for members of the board?
Yeah, did you say lighting? Are you putting lighting on the tower or are you not?
Every 50 feet.
Okay. That's
required by the code.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. We've got a lot of crop dusters running away, and we usually make them put the lighting on top.
Okay.
Mr. Sharp, do you have any questions?
And this isn't a tower. I presume that once it's up, the maintenance trips will be once a month or so. Is that typical?
No more than once a month.
So not a lot of traffic generated by the tower after it's constructed. It's not something that emits noise or smells or emissions or anything like that?
No.
Okay. I have no further questions.
How far is this off the road?
200
I think it's
feet?
Several hundred feet.
Several hundred feet.
I think you said 200 some feet from the property
it's,
line.
It's at a minimum, it's 250. And in some places, it's over 1,000 feet.
I got a question on the fence. The fence is that far back. He can go a 6 foot or 7 foot fence all the way around that place.
7 feet, but he stated they're going to have an 8 foot fence.
Eight
so
foot.
They would need a variance.
Well, we can go back to six, 7 feet.
I mean, you could ask for the 8 when you ask for the pole. Yeah, that's your choice.
I mean, he could go for 7.
Yes.
Is he fine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, as long as he's 40 feet back from the front property.
Yeah, which is going to be way further back now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's up to him if he wants to do that.
Yep, I just heard the 8 foot and that's why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. If there's no...
Huh? Did you ask if anybody was here?
Not yet.
For it?
Is there anyone here in favor of this application?
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three.
I think another gentleman out there.
Four. Yep, I saw you back there. Thank you. Okay, five. Okay, we got six.
Looks like
six people. Seven. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? No, apparently everybody has a cell phone. Okay. If there's no others, Chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the special use exemption for a cell phone tower at this location, but then realizing that they have to come back for the variance for the height of the tower.
They will. Mm-hmm. Unless they meet all the requirements otherwise. Okay.
I have a procedural question, I guess. Will I be able to incorporate this record into the next hearing?
You can.
Yeah, don't make all these copies.
unless you think you need to, because there might be some opposition.
Thanks.
But,
need a second.
I need a second. We have a second. So, by roll call vote, Mr. Mears.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Workman.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Calloway.
Aye for the reasons that have been stated.
Ms. McGee.
Aye for my reasons.
And I, too, for the reasons that have been stated. So, by a vote of 5-0, your case is approved for the variance. I mean, for the special use exception.
Mr. Chairman, who made the second there? I didn't get it.
Mr. Calloway.
Mr. Calloway.
Yes. Thank you. Ms. McGee's back up. You don't need